Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, page 1298-99 in your Bibles. And while you're looking for that, let me just say, if you did not read the announcement in your bulletins, the second offering was for GEMS, and we give an offering to GEMS International to support the organization that designs the program and the curriculum and all the things that we share in. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's pray before we read God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings of your word, as we will hear in just a moment, that your word comes to us by the product of yourself, that you carry the writers along and you cause them to write your word. And so that we have not cleverly invented stories, we have not the thoughts and the reminiscence of men, whether they be common or great, but we have men speaking from God. And we thank you, Father, that as we consider men speaking from you, that we draw into intimate and direct fellowship with you in your word. And so fill us with your Spirit. Bless us that we might discern the message of your word, but even more significantly, that we might be drawn into direct fellowship with you through Jesus Christ and the message of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we mentioned, we're doing a study of 2 Peter. We've completed 1 Peter, and now we want to read from verses 12 to 21. Therefore, I always intend to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice was carried to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice carried from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes by someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever carried by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This much that we read from God's word. Please keep your Bibles open, and you may also find an outline for you in your worship folder. So once again, to be somewhat redundant, we again welcome the girls and families and counselors of GEMS. We honor the ministry of GEMS and the counselors that have devoted their time and their lives in the mentoring of our girls and young women. And so we thank each of you for your participation in this year and in these activities. It's always difficult to decide what to do on these special Sundays and try to bring the things together. But here we see this theme with GEMS of no worries, and a theme of no worries because of who God is and because of what he has called us to do. The instruction to not be anxious is exactly what Peter's talking about in this passage. So you might say that we're talking not just of confident Christian living here, but we're actually seeing the very reason or the motivation for the prayer that the GEMS theme moves us to think about. So this GEMS theme moves us from anxiety to prayer, and this text shows us the foundation of our security. This gives us the confidence to live like Christians, and it's on the basis of this confidence that we pray securely. that we pray with some sense of comfort. I mean, there would be very little real comfort if we were not anxious, but we could just pray. Well, who are we praying to? And why would prayer even make a difference in our time of anxiety? And it's because of who God is and because of what He's doing that prayer becomes something of our comfort and we actually respond to Him. And so the GEMS lesson takes us even farther still to look at some of the things of the curriculum and to living our lives without anxiety, but in order to experience the peace of God in our hearts and minds. And this too is part of Peter's message. He wants the people of the Church of Jesus to be confident in the Word and in their Savior. And he speaks to instruct us of that confidence and even to know the Word in the depths of our heart. And that Word refines us, it equips us, it motivates us by speaking to us of the privilege that we have to be Christ-like in our nature and our living. So I want us to look at three specific things. First, the authority of the Word. Second, just a reminder given in the Word. And then finally, the purpose of the Word. So let's start at the end of the passage, the authority of the Word. In verse 21, we see that the written Word is God's Word. And Peter writes that we may have confidence in the authority of the Word of God because all prophecy, that is truly Scripture, comes from God. And I like that phrase, men spoke from God. They didn't make anything up. They didn't write their own wishes, their own desires, their own perspective on life, but they wrote as ones carried by the Holy Spirit. And Peter compares the message of the prophets to his own message, his own story. In a brief, he says, we didn't make anything up. I didn't make anything up. I'm telling you what I saw. I'm telling you what I experienced. I'm telling you what I learned. And so, too, in verse 21, the prophets didn't make anything up. They told us what God caused. They wrote by the power and the inspiration of God. And that leads us to the next point, that the written Word is equal to the spoken Word. The statement in verse 19 is pretty surprising, that we have something more sure, that prophetic Word is more sure. So, yes, Peter would take some issue with my outline notes, that they're equal because one is more than the other. But what I want you to see is that the four verbs in this passage, in Peter's language, because we always deal in translation, but in Peter's language, the four verbs talking about God's activity in communicating are the same word. They're identical. That whether God is speaking on a mountain or whether God is motivating in the inner part of somebody's life, it is God that is carrying that activity. That God is bringing it to His specific purpose and accomplishment because He is carrying these events. And that's what the word is that Peter is using. It's not just a verb to speak. He knows that word. He's used it many times. He doesn't say, and God said to us, and God continues to say to us, but he uses the word carry. And he speaks of a sense where this carrying is more determinative than even speaking. It's bringing about the specific events. Or we might say it takes more work to bear or carry a baby than it does to talk about being pregnant or having a baby. And that's exactly what Peter means, that there is more involved. It's not just the simplicity, even though there would be truth in that word, but there's more than it being spoken. It is God determining and accomplishing what he is saying in his speech. And so Peter is putting a priority then. Now to think of God being just as active, and Peter says it's even more significant than if we heard God on the mountain ourselves, that we have the Word of God complete, that we have the Word of God in its priority form. It's more certain even than a voice from heaven. And the written Word is an instructive Word. Peter says, pay attention to it. listen to it, follow it. In Peter's language, he says, it's good for us to do it. It's good for us to come close to it. In Peter's response on the mountaintop, if you know the story, when Peter was one of the three witnesses on the mountain and Jesus is transfigured, then Peter says, it's good for us to be here. Let's do something. Let's make three shelters so that we can stay here. And in Mark's account and in Peter here, it's the exact same language. That Peter is saying it is good for us to do the Word of God is the same language he used on the mountain. He's just echoing his own sentiment, saying it's good for us to dwell here in this experience. It's good for us to do the Word of God. And so it's good for us to do the making of tents. It's good for us to do the paying attention of the Scripture. And so he wants us to connect these thoughts and to be to think of those as together activities. And if we pay attention to that word, we think of it, he says, as even to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts in verse 19. And it seems to me that what Peter is saying, even though there's a lot of interpretation about whenever we see a word morning star, but we just read the simple sentence in verse 19, Peter is saying, pay attention to it until you get it. Keep studying it until you know it, until it becomes part of you. He's using a metaphor to saying God's Word is a light, a metaphor that is the fulfillment of Scripture, because Psalm 119, 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And he's drawing on that image, but he's saying, now do this, come close to this, and it's like a light for you. And so he's saying, continue to do the paying attention to God's Word until the light comes, until there is an understanding. And he even tells us in the fullness of this story that understanding is to see that all of prophecy comes to us in the truth of Jesus. But Peter is saying that this paying attention may take some effort. It may take some diligence. We may have to be in it for a while because the light may not come on immediately. And that fits also with what Peter is saying in this letter, because he says in chapter 1, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. In verse 18, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and in verse 10, be all the more diligent, or continue to make the effort, and practice these qualities. And he says in verse 12, I intend to always remind you, and in verse 15, and I'm going to make every effort. He's talking about a continued action with some diligence and some activity, that we focus on this with some determination. So we have the authority of God's Word, and we see it as an instructive word, and even a word that we need to explore and we need to do, to come close to and to spend time with. But secondly, we come to realize that there's a reminder of the Word, and largely to review and to connect this text with last week, we see that reminder that in verses 12 to 15, that we need to be established in the truth, verse 12, that you know these qualities and you are established in the truth. And so his instruction is that we be established in the instruction of the truth of God's Word. It gives us and leads us into truth. And then he says in verse 13 that he is writing to stir the church to action, to not be complacent, to be sitting back. Verse 13, I think it's right as long as I'm in this body to stir you by way of reminder. And the message or instruction from Peter is that we now understand apostolic authority and inspired authority, and so the church is motivated. And then there is, thirdly, to recall that apostolic instruction, that Peter is near death, verse 15, and so he wants to give the church a living reminder. He's very aware that what he is doing in writing this letter is going to be something that they can use to recall. Remember in 1 Peter 1, he said he's writing the true grace of God. And now in verse 15, he says that he's very certain and he's making every effort that after his departure, they will be able to continue to recall his teaching. And then he immediately says, because we're not writing our own thoughts. And it ends with, because those that write God's word are carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so he's putting definite emphasis on this whole sharing in the history of God, speaking, conveying, carrying his word. And then thirdly, we see finally the purpose of the word. And let me blur the lines a bit here. We're still kind of in the reminder section, but also starting to move forward. And we think of producing active image bearers. And that's what the passage is about. Look back at verses 3 and 4, where Peter says that God in his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. No worries. Don't be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God in his power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us into his own glory and excellence, that God has granted everything for life and godliness. Verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire, that God has granted the very promises that we read and that we devote ourselves to. And the purpose in granting these promises is that we would grow in a Christ-like nature, that we would not, as we talked about last Sunday, continue to live in the worldliness of human nature, but we begin to live in the wondrous relationship with Jesus Christ. And frankly, that's what I thought Peter was going to expand on, because that's his main thought, his main activity. And then we look at this text, and he talks about all of these things and this, and he's pointing back all the time, and I expected that he would be pointing back to this sharing in the divine nature. And yet, when we go to the antecedent, and we go to verse 12, what Peter's talking about is remind you of these qualities. And I'll make every effort, verse 15, that you recall these things. And what is he talking about? And he's going back to the qualities, verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, what qualities? Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So he's saying, be active. Be involved. Be doing these things. And the verses point back to growth, to adding to faith, to growing in spiritual life. And you think, well, that's kind of a works righteousness all over again, isn't it? Sort of a renewed thing. But wait. Wait. Peter's whole point is teaching us what it is to be like Christ. And what do? We grow in knowledge of Christ, right? We grow in knowledge of God. And we just need to know about God. And we need to know the plan of God. And we need to understand the workings of God. Didn't Jesus have all of that before he took on human flesh? Didn't he know God fully? Didn't he know the plan of God completely, better than we'll ever come to understand it? Didn't he know the intricacies of working out the plan? Didn't he know every step? Didn't he know everything there was to know about God? But to be Christ-like is to be active in that knowledge. He knew not only the plan, but he knew that the plan was being carried out in his very being, in his humility. He knew that he was equal with God. He did not consider the qualities of God. He did not consider his equal nature with God, Philippians 2, as something to hang on to, but he willingly humbled himself and took on human flesh. And now Peter says, in these things, we need to add to our faith, which is seeing what we hear. It's coming to know the reality of God's salvation in Christ. And he says, now add to all of these things until you come to the point of self-denying love. That's the last one on the list. And so to think of being Christ-like is not only to know, but it's to be devoting ourselves, to be giving ourselves sacrificially, humbly, like Christ did. It's to be active in service. And then we're starting to understand the whole nature of God and to become like Christ. And so we need to learn to produce faith that grows, because that's what God's Word does. In God carrying His Word and bringing it to the point of accomplishing its specific purpose, God Himself is bringing about what He wants in that Word. And so Peter is not saying to each one of us, well, God wrote His Word by being active in all of these things, by accomplishing His very purpose. So now, go out, be on your own, do well, be strong. He's saying be confident that the Word of God is going to accomplish the very things that God intends for it to accomplish. Or we say it's not going to return to Him void. Peter's using different language to say, trust this living Word to bring about what God wants to bring about. And so he's calling for a sacrificial involvement in society. He's calling for a stand on the relationship to God and Jesus Christ, and to trust that, and that paying attention to the Word is the source of all growth and understanding in that Word that God is accomplishing His purpose. Faith is added to by reminder, by recall, by reflection upon the written Word. And every time Peter's pointing back to that Word. And that's why the ministries of the church are so significant. In Sunday school, in GEMS, in cadets, in small group Bible studies, in the ministry of coffee break, we learn to live the Word. We learn to be people of the Word. And so we actually do a disservice to the Word of God and the power of the Spirit in our lives if we are not involved in these things. If we're not carrying out the activity of learning and growing through God's Word. And not being part of the wholeness of using all the things that God has brought together for the purpose of understanding and living His Word. And then, finally, we understand all of this as a very generous, loving communication from God. That God is so active in His Word, whether speaking from heaven or carrying the writers of Scripture along, God is speaking to mankind. God is speaking to people who, as we read in the text from Psalm 51, sinful from birth, conceived in sin. People that were committing sin, offending God, turning from God, not being part of His holiness. And God says, in My Word, I have something to say to you. Here's peace. Here's wholeness. Here's how I work to make our relationship right. I want you to know Me. This is who I am. It's in My Word. I want you to know yourselves as I see you. So it's in the Word. I want you to know how we're connected. That's what I put in My Word. And it's all this point of God is just communicating His grace all along. Peter uses that same language in chapter 1 in the first part. That God communicates, God reveals, God calls, God saves, God elects, God is involved in all of this stuff. In other words, God, by His communication, invites us to speak with Him and to do so rightly. To do so not as His enemies, not as ones alienated from Him, but to do so in full trust and dependence upon Him. And our proper response is to see the privilege of being the people of His Word and knowing what He's asking of us. And simply say thank you for your wonderful gifts. Thank you for the wonder, Lord God Almighty, of speaking to me. I mean, what can be more significant than that? I mean, why isn't God running from me? Why isn't He putting up walls and holding Himself off? His Word is a gracious communication, breaking through the situation of our lives and even the things that we put up around ourselves, because we want to protect ourselves from God too. And His Word penetrates through all of this to say, hey, let's talk. I'm speaking to you. Now you may talk to me. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what you're worried about. Let me teach you how you can trust me. And we're brought to the point of comfort because of God's wonderful care. And we may even say, no worries. Because we fully trust that God is going to accomplish, to carry out the very purpose that He requires and designs in His Word. And He brings us to a light of His Word where we see Jesus even more clearly than seeing Him on the mountain. And I think that's what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, look, people, I saw Jesus for who He is on the mountain. I talked with Jesus after His resurrection, and He opened the Scriptures to me. And what He said to me was, thus it is written, Luke 24, 44 or 46, thus it is written, to show the sufferings of Christ, to show that He must be raised from the dead on the third day, to have repentance preached upon the name of Him, for forgiveness of sins for all the nations. Peter says, Jesus taught me that's what the Bible is about. That when we look at the Scriptures, we see Jesus. And that God in that moment, like we talked about in Adult Sunday School this morning, God in that moment on the mountain was exegeting Scripture. God at that moment on the mountain was saying to the disciples, do you see what my Word is about? It's about this glorious King. And then Peter reflects on the Scripture and he says, we've got it right here. They didn't make it up. They knew it. God was carrying them along and causing them to write this Word. And if we go on and study Peter, and we think back to what he said in chapter 1, or book 1, he's saying that all of this shows us the wonders of Jesus. And that's why it's more sure. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of what God has said. And in Him is our confidence. In Him is our peace. In Him is our hope. And in His name, our prayers are heard. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the wonder of interpreting Your Word in Jesus. Thank You that Jesus is the very point and message of Your Word, and that it is the message of the Old Testament to show us the death and resurrection of Christ, to show us the reality of Jesus being preached, to show that You will grant forgiveness of sins and You will bring Your blessing to the nations. And we thank You, Father, for the confidence that we may have in Your Word, because You speak it, even as You carry the writers along and cause them to write Your Word. So, Father, thank you for the trust that we may have, the confidence that we may have, the motivation that comes to us because of your word. Now we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might live obediently to the instruction of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name.